Morning. First off, I just want to thank everybody for their prayers, for their support, and everything that we have done in the last 2 years, I guess, now, leading up the year and a half that we were leading up to the trip, and the prayers and support while we were on the trip. We could feel the prayers from home almost every day. Something happened, and we could feel the prayers. It was just fantastic. It's kind of why I entitled this morning, Seeing God's Hand in Everything. While we were down there, we were doing some vacation Bible schools with them, and we'll get into what we called them when we get there. But their vacation Bible school the first week, they were focused on Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And we had so many reasons while we were down there to be able to do that. For me, it was a tough road getting there. The devil really did not want me to go. I had my own personal worries about my past. As many of you know, I have a felony record because of standing up and taking responsibility for some things that happened in the Boy Scout, Cub Scout pack that I was a part of. And I was really concerned about OMS, the One Mission Society, allowing me to go along on this trip because of that. And the guy we met with them, Lois talked to him and said, I have no worries whatsoever about him going along. We know him personally. And the guy was like, okay. Never even questioned what it was. Just said, okay. So that was cool. We had some issues, computer-related type issues with my clearances coming through. For whatever reason, we could not get them to come off. We get them off the website to download them. Finally, Lois made some phone calls and was able to get them. So that was a blessing. You know, you could see that things were working in the right direction. I had issues with my passport application. Apparently, the one that they gave me at E-Town was not the correct one. So there was a blockage, and fortunately, after fighting with trying to find out where I needed to go, where I could get in to get things started, get them going, E-Town told me, it's going to be 3 months before we can see you. And we're like, yeah, that's cutting it awful close. OMS needed stuff beforehand. I, on a whim, walked up to the, or called up the Ephrata Library, and they said, oh, yeah, we can take you right now. So I was like, I'll be there in 30. So I literally jumped in the truck and ran over to Ephrata and got there. That's when we found out about the application being wrong, but they said, here's the right one. Fill it out right here. We'll wait. You can sit right here at this desk and fill it out. So there, you know, you could see that God was there watching over me, getting everything to fall into place so that this stuff would all happen. I had found out that I lost my birth certificate, and I was panicking that going up to Harrisburg to reapply, it would take weeks. They said, oh, no. Just sit here, we'll wait for about an hour and we'll have it ready for you. So that was pretty cool, you know. And then, of course, our biggest obstacle for the puppet team as a whole was the over $38,000 that we needed for this trip. Through our working at Hershey Park, the sub-sales, donations from other people, you guys, churches, you know, everything, we actually had a surplus and actually brought in over $42,000 for this trip. So that was definitely God saying to us, I got your back. You know, we're going to get this. This is what we want you to do, so we're going. for me personally, I had two passages of scripture that really I kind of hung on to through this whole process, because I really felt that Satan was trying to hold me back. But in the same respect, even though I felt like he was trying so hard, I felt like God was saying even more so, no, I've got a reason that I want you to go. I want you to go. There's something big going to happen. We didn't know what, but we felt that. But the two passages of scripture, we got these nifty little books, notebooks from OMS, and I decided I was going to use mine as a daily journal for the trip. So I have it here if anybody would like to look at it later. But on the front, one of my absolute favorite verses of scripture, because I was a wrestler in school, and Ephesians 6:12, if you read it out of the King James, says, "For we wrestle." So it kind of stuck with me. Both of these passages come out of Ephesians 6. The first one I have written down is 6:10 through 12. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God." Also, I'm a was a medieval reenactor, so armor, swords, you know. "So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." The other one comes out of that same passage, but it's from 6:18 to 20. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." You know, and that's pretty much what I was doing this whole period leading up to the trip, was praying that the devil would get behind us and that what God wanted would be brought to the forefront. Some of the things that ways that we saw God working while we were on the trip: all of our flights on the way down were on time. Luggage was collected, every single piece in Fort Lauderdale. We had to transfer to a different airline for the international flight, so we were able to get every piece of our luggage, which we had 8 of us on the trip, and I think every one of us had at least 2 pieces of carry-on luggage with puppets, props, things for what we were doing down there, the craft projects for the Bible schools, and we took a bunch of supplies down for Dave and Conce Roof, who were the missionaries that we were working with down there and actually stayed with the whole time. So we probably had 4 or 5 suitcases just in stuff, supplies that they wanted brought down from the States to them, because it's much easier to get them here. But all of our luggage made it again to Baleem, which was, you know, all of our flights, everything went well that way. And we praise God for that, because, you know, we had prayed hard about all of that, because you can't really go down there and do a puppet ministry if you don't have puppets. It's hard. When we got to Baleem, we got off the planes, collected all of our luggage, and then we were sent down this hallway to customs. And there was this gentleman sitting right here at this Y point, and he's pointing everybody over to this way. Our entire team, he sent this way. So we had just come through, we got our passport stamped, and they send us out. Everybody else was being sent over to get checked, have all their luggage gone through, everything like that. He sent our team this way, which took us about a 10-step walk to the airport out of the gates. So we never had any of our luggage checked, nothing like that ever happened. It was in and out. We were through customs in 10 minutes. Yeah, it was insane. And there again, the only thing we could say was, thank you, God. It's just the only way to look at it. We get that morning, that was around 5 o'clock in the morning, we landed in Belém. Got back to Dave and Conce's roof, and we just started seeing the beauty from the airport of where we were at. We were in the middle of the Amazon rainforest. Flying in, you couldn't see it as well, but you could see it. Flying out, we flew right over the Amazon and got to see the actual Amazon River. We were off of some of the tributaries of the Amazon. So we were right there in the heart of the rainforest. I mean, we're talking their backyard at Dave and Conce's. They had cacao trees, which are the trees that Milton Hershey uses for cocoa. They had banana trees. They had 4 banana trees off to the one side, and we actually got to keep tabs on them. The second week we were there, they were actually starting to grow bananas, and it was kind of cool to watch it happen. And they sent me specifically, I don't know if any of the others got them, but I know I got them, videos or pictures throughout since we've been back of this tree. And the last one I got was really kind of cool because I had never known it, but when a banana tree, when you cut the bananas off, the tree withers away. Completely withers away. It gives one harvest, that's it, it's done. But in the process of the tree withering away, it sends up another shoot and creates a whole brand new tree for the next harvest. So it kind of regenerates itself. But you're sitting there and you're watching these reports and you're just like, man, God, you really did think about everything when you do this. They had passion fruit trees, coconut trees, acai trees. The one church that we were at actually had a cashew tree right across the street. So it was neat to see how cashews are grown. The only thing I didn't get to see that I would have liked to, I probably could have from what Dave was telling me later at the Moju church, was a coffee bush. Would have loved to have seen coffee beans and the way they grow. Every morning when we woke up, we got to hear the beauty of God and the way he did things with the toucans. We had a couple of toucans every morning. You could hear them across the street in the trees, and they were constantly talking back and forth between them. It was just beautiful. It's way better than listening to the roosters in the morning. But the sound of the and I think in the video I have, I think there is some of that you might be able to hear it. Everywhere we went in Ikora Sea, which is the outskirts of Belém, it's kind of like Ephrata is to Lancaster, you saw kites. The kids, that's what they did for fun. Unfortunately, they also use it for a game of war, where they will take the kites and they have special kinds of string that's actually not supposed to be being used from what I understood. But the kids used this string and they would get their kites entangled with each other. And then they would start doing this with the string and saw off the string of the other kites. And whosoever kite fell lost the war, but everybody went running to try and salvage the kite. So it was kind of crazy. I mean, and the streets, they're half paved, they're half dirt. They're very much like what you see of South America, Latin America kind of houses, where they all have the big concrete walls around the front. So you're seeing all these concrete walls with gates and things like that. And it's hard to see some of the houses over the walls. But that's what you're seeing. And the kids are just out in the streets playing. And when cars come, they'll move out of the way, mostly. Some of them didn't. And, you know, it was cool to see all the kites because it was kind of fun watching the kites. But when you realize what they're doing with them, is it as cool? I don't know. It's kids, you know. And just the kids themselves, being able to work with them down there. They were just so beautiful. The kids that we got to work with in our vacation Bible schools, oh, I miss them. I miss them a lot. There was a group of teenagers that I got to know fairly well. We had an opportunity where we found out that some of them spoke Spanish. I speak a little Spanish after 4 years in high school. And it was cool because even though their English was horrible and my Spanish was horrible, somehow through English and Spanish, we were able to communicate and actually have conversations. And the four of us that were, the three teenagers and myself, just kind of became very, very close. Very much like family down there. And yeah, just miss them tremendously. Rebecca's heard this story. We had a motorcyclist that on the very first day we're there may or may not have rear-ended our rental vehicle. He was riding along, and Martin was driving. Lois's husband went to move out around this big pothole, and when he slowed down to go around it, because there's a big truck coming, he wasn't paying attention. He went right into the front of the motorcycle, hit the back end of the truck or Jeep, rather. Fortunately, he was not hurt. The only thing damaged was the forks on his front end of his motorcycle, but you know, he learned a lesson for not paying attention, I guess. The vacation Bible schools, like I said, just working with the kids down there was just phenomenal. We would start every session of the vacation Bible schools. Down there in the Brazilian Portuguese, they called them Escuela Biblica de Férias. They called them EBFs. Essentially, it was School Bible of Férias, I believe was their word for vacation. So it was very similar to what we do. But they would start them very much like what we do here in America. They would start off with some songs. We had a little skit that we did with some puppets for them. They had their lesson. And then we got to come out from behind the curtains and we got to interact with all the kids, and we did crafts and games, all kinds of really cool stuff. It was just so much fun doing those. We had the painter that I had mentioned, and I'm sorry, Mike, I meant to bring that along to show you today, and I completely forgot to grab it off the wall. I had brought that painting in that was done on the tile. That was, I think that was planned by God for us to meet him, because we had the opportunity while he's sitting there. We had these shirts on that day, and he literally drew this logo with his fingers and these little toothpicks onto some tiles, and then wrote C-E-R-A, Sarah or something like that, I believe it was, which was the word for believe. That's the Brazilian Portuguese word for believe. We had it done for Diana, who was unable because she had knee surgery and just couldn't physically go along with us. So we had it done for her, and he graciously wanted to do that logo for us. But as he was painting, he looked up at our shirts, and as he's looking at Lois's shirt for the design of the logo, he says, "Jesus?" and points at her shirt. He recognized the S-O-N of sunshine as being Jesus. And it sparked a really awesome conversation with him where we found out that he was not going to church. And we started talking with him and just kind of ministering to him in that time period that he was painting that logo on the tiles. And till he was done painting, I think he ended up doing four of them then for us. Till he was done painting them, he said to Dave, he was saying to him that he's going to start looking to go back to a new church. Because if we're able to come down there and do what we're doing, he needs to be able to be back in church and getting things together. So it was a really cool conversation that we were able to have through Dave translating with us, and a lot of fun. Got to go see couple of outdoor markets, very similar to what you would think of as the Green Dragon, but it wasn't under roof. They had tarps over the top. So it was more like the outdoor side of the Green Dragon, where they had all the fruits and vegetables and things sitting there. Dave took me across to the next building that was there from where we were at and showed me the fish market, which was really cool. We walked through, and there's probably, I'll bet you there was 100 stalls there. And none of them had refrigeration, but they all had ice. And all the prepped food was sitting on ice. And we're walking through and got to the back end of the building. And he says, walk out this door. And I walked out the door, and there's the dock 50 feet from the door. There was literally enough room to back a dump truck. And it probably wasn't more than about 50 feet from that door to the docks where all the boats were lined up that had come in that morning to bring all the fish in. So that was really cool. That would have come in off of one of their Amazon tributaries. But they could not, from where we were at, we were not that far from the top of Brazil. They may have been out into the ocean somewhat. But where it was more likely from the rivers. I didn't really ask that question because I kind of assumed it was the rivers because of where we were at, because that river is mostly salt water, especially up in that area. So a lot of the fish I was seeing was salt water, so I just kind of, you know. What was really cool was as we were there, it really brought Colossians 3:11 to mind. You know, you guys all know, I love listening to Unashamed, and right now they're going through Colossians. And Colossians 3:11 says, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And one of the things that we could really see while we were down there is how it didn't matter if we were Brazilian or American. We were all one with Christ. And it was just so amazing to have that feeling of being loved by them and loving them as we are brothers and sisters in Christ. On our way out to Mojú, another thing that we saw that God working was we never once got stopped at any of the police checkpoints. They had police checkpoints. We all had to have our passports with us in our possession. It wasn't like Lois could have them in her bag and say, here, you know, pass them out. No, we had to have them right there because if they stopped us and none of us had them, we were in trouble. Well, they never stopped us. So that was pretty cool. The churches, they are not like churches that we see around here in America. Their buildings are very, very simple, very basic. The one in Acura C, they have these big doors that they just open up to let air in. It's like a big garage door almost, and they just slide it back, and they let all the air in, and that's their air conditioning. And so they're very, very basic, but they realize that they don't need to have the fanciest of everything. They're there for one reason, and that's what they want to do. It's just incredible. I know everybody's going to want to know about this because, you know, I'm a chef, and that's who I am, and some of my favorite foods of Brazil. This was one of the most exciting parts for me. I mean, not that doing the work that we were doing with God, you know, I get all that. That was top priority. But for me personally, as a chef, food is a big thing. Our mornings, basic foods, very much like what we have here in America. We had eggs, sausages. One morning I made a couple of baked oatmeals. We had a cookie bar the one morning. Dave made his apparently world-famous coffee cake, which I can understand why it's called that. Some very typical things. We had something called tapioca, where they took what we think of as the tapioca pearls and granules, had it ground down to almost like a powder, and they would lay that in the bottom of a saute pan and make like a tortilla out of it. Butter it, and it rolled it up. They were phenomenal. I actually have a cookbook here that has the recipe in. It's in Brazilian Portuguese, so good luck trying to read it, but I have that. They made empanadas. One night we were at a pizza shop down there, which was kind of unique because I'm thinking pizza, I think what we think of as pizza here in America. Nope. The pizza's the same, but the toppings are Brazilian. So, you know, it was a little different. It was really kind of cool. They had one that had a calabresa sausage. You know, when we think of pizzas, we think Italian. But they had this calabresa sausage. They had shrimp and, I can't pronounce the word. It's jambu, J-A-M-B-U, which is kind of like asparagus. It's a little different, but it's kind of like asparagus. Didn't care for that part. Those came off. They were a little more woody than asparagus. Hot sauces. Oh, did we go through some hot sauces? I'll bet we did. In the 2 weeks that we were there, I think Priscilla and I went through about 4 bottles. We had fun. We had fun with it. They had at least four different. Priscilla and I each went to the one market and bought a bottle and brought it home with us, which was really cool. Ice creams. We had ice cream at least 4 different times while we were down there. So that was like a nice little treat. Fresh baked breads. The one day we went to the Riverside, they actually took green coconuts and chopped the top off and stuck straws in them. And we got to drink the coconut water. That was probably one of the most refreshing things that we had while we were down there. It was just so interesting. They had the really cool Brazilian barbecues, which they had all the different buffet items sitting around where we actually even got to eat some of the offal products, and I may or may not have tricked one of our teenage boys into eating beef tongue. Not sure how that happened. He asked what it was, and I said it was beef, which isn't a lie. When he got done, and I asked him how he liked it, and he said it was great. I said, yeah, you just ate tongue. Turned a little green at that point, but, you know. Oh, it was. It was real good eating. We had oxtail at the one. We had the beef tongue at the other one. But they had all these dishes set up, and it was just really cool. And then they would have this big open box-like thing with shelves on it that they would have these big, long, 3-foot skewers on lined up over coals. And they're just up there turning them, and then you tell them, I'd like some of that, the calabresa sausage, or I'd like some of that beef. And they'd bring it out, stick it down, and they'd just start cutting it off. And they'd put it right onto your plate for you. Oh, they're so much fun. We actually had a food truck meal the one night while we were down along the river. And we had a so-called continental breakfast while we were in Mojú at the hotel. Yeah, about that. Shady Maple's no longer the world's largest smorgasbord. I'm going to read you the excerpt that I put in here about that one that morning because it really puts American continental breakfasts to shame. This morning, we woke up to the continental breakfast at the hotel. You may as well have said we went to Shady Maple. There were several kinds of fresh fruits, pineapple, passion fruit, 2 different kinds of melons, as well as watermelon. 3 different kinds of dry cereal, granola, and dried oatmeal, puddings, various other desserts, 6 different juices, cheese bread, sliced baguettes that were toasted and had 2 different kinds of toppings, several different breakfast pastries, salted cod tea sandwiches, yuck, That was the first thing I ate that I didn't like while we were there. Half ham and cheese sandwiches, cheese and ham slices on a tray, basket of fresh bread like club rolls, scrambled eggs, traditional sausage and bean mixture, very much kind of like our hot dogs and pork and beans, like the Campbell's. It's kind of what it reminded me of. Fried sweet potatoes, couscous, which was served in a loaf shape like it came out of a bundt pan, coffee, tea, hot chocolate. It really puts an American continental breakfast to shame. I do have a video that Justin has ready to, I'm hoping to show. It's a video that Dave Roof put together from the moment we arrived in and came through that short little passage after we were pulled out of the line to go through customs, that just shows everything, a little bit of a clip of a little bit of everything that we did while we were down there, working with the kids in the EBF, in both churches, and so forth. And yeah, it was just, the trip was phenomenal. And again, I say thank you to all of you for your prayers and support. And thank you for the opportunity to come share what we did. And this video will do a much better job than what I have done.
Good morning. It is July 15th, 2024. 4:24 in the morning, and as you can see here on this screen, we have a flight coming from Fort Lauderdale. The Sunshine Puppet team is on that flight. They'll be joining us here for 2 weeks, and it shows us that they'll be arriving in 44 minutes, so we're gonna soon be out the door here of our house, get over to the Beling Airport, meet them, pick them up, and bring them back. And we're going to start 2 weeks of ministry here in Beling. Just very quickly, before we go to the airport, I want to show you how we have the bedroom set up here to receive a team of 8 people. This bed we have, this room, we have a bunk bed in it. Coming across the hallway, we have a room set up for 3. I'm going to come over here and turn the air conditioner on so things are nice and cool when the team gets here. We put this curtain across the hallway here, so our living room has also become a bedroom. Another bunk bed. These bunk beds I made several years ago out of lumber that we were using at the church here in Ecuadorcee when we were building it. This lumber was used for scaffolding, and I purposely bought hardwood. This wood, these bunk beds are made out of Angeline Vermelho, very hard wood, and it's great for furniture making. And I made 2 sets of bunk beds out of them, ladders, quite a few things. I'm going to turn this air conditioner on here as well. That way the rooms will be all nice and set up. Okay, we got to get to the airport. Okay, here it is, 5:17. We just got to the airport. The team should be landed, probably going through passport control and customs. So till we get in there, we'll still have a little bit of a wait for them to come out of the gate, but this is what the airport looks like at 5:17 in the morning. Still about 'Coming out from other flights already. here is the international arrival gate, so we'll wait here for the team. Just give you a quick look at the airport here in Belém, so when you come visit us, you have some idea of what to expect. Over here is the domestic arrival gate. Walking his dog, walking with his dog, I should say.